السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أمير
الحمد لله.
I think there are still some notes and bugs.
Okay, I'm just leaving the message. Sorry. I guess so.
Okay. Can we go on with the class?
No, I'm sure. Yes, you can go ahead, though.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We are on Babul Afwi Wasafhi Aninas. Babul Afwi Wasafhi Aninas. The chapter about having Al Afu and Al Safu regarding the people. The chapter about having Al Afu and Al Safu regarding the people. Al Afu, most of the people will mention it to be pardoning, but in Arabic itself, linguistically, it has to do with at-tark. إِذَا تَرَكْتَ شَيْئًا عَفَاكَ عَفَوْتَ عَنْهُ. If you leave something, when you leave something, leaving something, when you leave something, you have made afu regarding that thing. So the ulama would further explain that kafu ad-darari ma al-qudrati alayh, abandoning, leaving aside, causing harm to someone when you have the ability to do so. That is what is called al-afu. Al-afu is someone does something to you, you have an ability to return hurt for hurt. You have an ability to return injury for injury. Ma'azalik, you make kafu ad-darar, you hold back that evil. Ma'al qudrat alayhi, even though you have the ability to return that evil for evil. That's leaving aside, you're returning evil for evil. That leaving aside is what is referred to as what? Al-afu. Al-afu is not to return hurt for hurt, not to return injury for injury. As for asafhu, it is not to return injury for injury, which is al-afu, and then behaving as if there was no injury at all by following up with goodness. Asafhu is tajawuzu anil ladhina, tajawuzu anil zamb. You overlook that ill. Someone had done something to you. You overlook the sin, the evil, the hurt, the injury, bil kulliya, completely. You overlook it. You turn the other way as if it had not happened at all. Because asafu, as we had explained, was picked from something like asafha, as if you turn another page. When you, there is a page, page 77, you turn another page. That is from where the word asafu was picked from. So as if the earlier page never existed, the new page covers it all off. So when someone does direct harm, direct evil, direct hurt towards you, you turn another leaf as if to say that you were not hurt at all. That is asafu. So we would understand that asafu has a deeper meaning in terms of pardoning and forgiveness than al-afu. Al-afu is that you just did not return that hurt for a hurt. And asafu is when you don't return hurt for a hurt. Instead of a hurt for a hurt, you bring another page of goodness to cover the page when there is hurt. So this is what we are discussing today: pardoning the people, overlooking their faults, and forgiving their evil that they may direct towards us. The first hadith we read in that chapter in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, was hadith 243. And that was the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, when he told us about the Jewish woman, Anna Yahudiyatan, attacking Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama bishatin masmuma. That a Jewish woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bishatin masmuma, with a piece of meat that she had poisoned. She had poisoned the meat, and yet she brought it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we mentioned in our last class, that was upon a grand plan by the Jews who were resident in Medina at that time to execute the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by means of poisoning him. So after the battle, after Khaybar became under Islam and Muslims, the Jewish came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with that poisoned meat. فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا وَأَكَلَ الْكَوْمِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a bite from it. وَأَكَلَ الْكَوْمِ. And those, the companions who were with him, also took from it. Later on, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اِرْفَعُوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ فَإِنَّهَا أَخْبَرَتْنِي أَنَّهَا مَسْمُومَ. Take off your hands. اِرْفَعُوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ فَإِنَّهَا أَخْبَرَتْنِي أَنَّهَا مَسْمُومَ. The Prophet commanded them, alayhi salatu wasalam, to take off their hands from the veil. فَإِنَّهَا أَخْبَرَتْنِي أَنَّهَا مَسْمُومَ. Because the piece of meat told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, I have been poisoned. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَجِيهَ بِهَا. The woman was brought to him. فَكِيلَ عَلَىٰ نَقْتُلُهَا. So the people began to ask the Prophet, should we not kill this woman? But before that, the Prophet asked her, فَسَأَلَهَا عَنْ ذَلِكِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her why she did what she did. فَقَالَتْ أَرَدْتُ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. I wanted to kill you. She wanted to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُسَلِّطَكِ عَلَيَّ. Allah has not given you that power to overpower me. Allah has not granted you that permit to do that against me. So the companions radiallahu anhum were asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala naqtuluha, shouldn't we kill the woman? Because she had intended to kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is harm that was directed to him. This is injury that was directed to him. This was hurt that was directed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that hurt was directed to him by a Jew. That hurt was directed to him by a Jew. So this is a point of reference for us, for me and the rest of us. Someone directs hurt to you, we should learn to have al-afu. And as we know the meaning of al-afu, al-afu is kafu darar ma al-kudrat alayh. You hold back from returning hurt, even though you have the ability to do it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have ordered that the woman be executed. He could have ordered alayhi salatu wa sallam that the woman should be poisoned in return for that, because that's also lawful in the Sharia. And I think we'll come back to this, inshallah. It is lawful to return hurt for hurt. The same hurt that was done to you, you can return it. It is lawful in the Sharia. And that was why when Bishr ibn al-Barra' al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, who also took from the meat, when he died almost immediately from that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred the matter to the family of Bishr. And as we said earlier in the class before this, that this hadith has seriously been reported by the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This report we are reading in Al-Adab al-Mufrad was the report of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. It was also reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma. It was also reported by Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. It was reported by our mother Aisha radiyallahu anha. It was also reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. And the report of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said radiyallahu anhuma, when it became clear that Bishr ibn al-Barra had died from that poisoning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned the affair to the family of Barra. He returned to Ibn al-Barra. He returned the affair to the family of Bishr ibn al-Barra. Why? Because they are those that Allah has given the authority. Allah says, وَمَنْ كُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا. Anybody who was killed unlawfully. فَقَلْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. We have returned the authority to his family. So the choice of we overlook or the choice of we want retaliation belongs to the family of the persons that were killed. But as for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did to that woman was what? As for the family of Bishr ibn al-Barra al-Ansari, what they requested for was what? Al-Qisas. What the family of Bishr ibn al-Barra al-Ansari requested for was what? They requested for Al-Qisas. They requested for Al-Adl. So Anas ibn Malik said in completion of this hadith, so that we can go back to other aspects of the explanation. قال أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه فما زلت أعرفها في لهوات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. I did not stop seeing, I continued to see the effect of that poisoning in the upper mouth area, in the throat area of the Prophet Muhammad, in the uvula of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I continued to see the signs of that poisoning till the Prophet died alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet died 3 years after that. But as for Bishr ibn al-Barra, he died almost on the spot when he ate the poison meat. So the poison did not affect the Prophet Muhammad and was not the reason for his death alayhi salatu wasalam. He completed his message, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not preordain that to be the reason for his death. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there are two things we will notice in this hadith. We will notice the afu of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he forgave the woman. And we will notice the qisas, the retaliation that was requested by the family of who? Bishr ibn al-Barra, who died from the poisoning. But as for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave up. As for the family of Bishr, they desired and they requested for what? Al-Adl. This means we need to put these matters in the right perspective. There are four things. The first one is the zulm itself. The zulm itself, the injustice itself, the injury itself, the harm itself, that was directed at the beginning. That was what the woman did. The woman brought injury to the Prophet Muhammad and the rest of the companions who partook from that meal. So the same way people direct hurt to us, the same way people direct injury to us, this is zulm. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hates zulm. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he hates zulm. Nobody should direct hurt. Nobody should direct evil to the other person. So the first, which is a bad thing in the category of what we are talking about, is what? Az-zulm. And az-zulm is not lawful. It is not lawful to direct zulm. It can be in terms of insult, verbal. It can be in terms of backbiting, verbal. It can be insult in terms of slandering, which is also verbal. It can also be in terms of an action, like slapping somebody, like beating up somebody, like hitting somebody, either with our hands or with our feet or with something else. All kinds of zulm, all kinds of al-bagh, all kinds of insult, all kinds of harassment, directing it to the rest of the people are prohibited in Islam by consensus and by all the verses and ahadith of the Quran that we can cite regarding the matter. The next stage to that, which is the response to zulm, is al-qisas. You direct just the like of the hurt that was done to you, you do it back to the person. Someone slaps you, you slap that person just as you have been slapped. Someone hits you, you hit that person just as you have been hit. Someone kills someone from the family, you request that that person also be killed. This is referred to as what? Al-Adl. And it occurs in many verses of the Quran. It is Al-Adl, it is justice. It is Al-Qisas, retaliation and revenge. It is lawful. It is allowed in Islam to retaliate. And there are a lot of verses in the Quran that mentions this. Allah says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَالْجُرُوحَ قِصَاصٌ. This is what كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا. We have also ordered those who received books before you. We had written in their own books too. أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ. That when a person kills a person, he should be killed in retaliation. أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ. If a person plucks out the eye of one person, the eye of the other person who had plucked the eye should also be what? Should be removed. This is called what? Al-Qisas, retaliation. It is also called what? Al-Adl, justice. So Allah says, وَقَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْأُذُنَ بِالْأُذُنِ. When someone cuts off the ear of one person, his own ear, the kind of the ear that he had cut off, it should be cut off. Someone cuts off the hand of one person, that hand that he had cut off, the kind of that should be cut off from him too. This is Al-Qisas. This is retaliation, and it is Adl, perfect justice. So Allah says, وَالْجُرُوحَ قِصَاصٌ. Likewise, the types of injuries that you cause to another person, قِصَاصٌ, the retaliation of that should be done to you too. So if a person stabs somebody, he should be stabbed. If he stabs in the hand, he should be stabbed in the hand. If he stabs in the chest, he should be stabbed in the chest. This is called what? Al-Qisas. He says, وَالْجُرُوحَ قِصَاصٌ. All kinds of injury, which is lawful, it is halal, it is allowed. Qisas, that retaliation, should be returned to whoever that perpetrates the evil. But the evil in all of it goes back to the first person who brought out that insult. That was why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in another hadith. This hadith also occurs in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and we shall come back to it. But the riwaya we are reading here is from that of Al-Imam al-Muslim, rahimahullah. He said, Al-Mustaban ma qala fa'ala al-badi. Al-Mustaban. Two people abusing and insulting themselves. You are stupid. The other one returns it. You are stupid. The other one says you are mad. The other one says you are mad too. He says you are idiot. The other one returns it. You are idiot too. Al-Mustaban. Two people returning insults and abuse amongst themselves. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma qala. All that the two of them say, everything that the two of them say, fa'ala al-badi. It goes back upon the head of the person who started the hurt. Ma lam ya'tadi al-mazloom. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma lam ya'tadi al-mazloom. As long as the first person who was abused, who is the mazloom, who was caused hurt, as long as lam ya'tadi, he has not gone beyond limit. For example, someone insults you and say you are stupid. Some people can go back and say you are stupid and mad. As long as you did not add, you return stupid for stupid, the entire sin of the sin, the iniquity that will be recorded for the two people who are insulting themselves will be written upon the one who started the insult. As long as the person returning hurt for hurt, as long as he does not go beyond limit. So two things. The first one is the hurt itself. May Allah protect us from being among the zalimun. This is unlawful. We have explained it. This is the first thing. The second thing is returning hurt for hurt, returning insult for insult. As long as The return is not beyond the original heart. It is lawful in Islam. And there are a lot of verses. We mentioned the verse in Surah to Al-Ma'idah. Allah also mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَمَنِ اِعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ مَنِ اِعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Whoever aggresses against you, whoever directs aggression against you, فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ, direct aggression to him too, بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ, just in the like of the aggression that he had given to you. It is lawful in the Sharia. Allah also says elsewhere, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ, that's in Surah Ash-Shura. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The reward, the recompense for a heart that is directed to you is just the same kind of heart, the same kind of it. So this is lawful. The first thing is the heart, and this is unlawful. It is not lawful to originally direct hurt to people. But when you direct hurt to people, it is lawful for them. It is allowed for them to direct and return the hurt that you had directed to them. It is lawful for them to return that hurt to you. The third level is the level of al-afu. That is the level of al-zulmu. This is haram. That is the level of al-adl, al-kisas. This is halal. This is lawful. As long as the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma lam ya'tadil mazloom. As long as you, that you were hurt, you did not go beyond bounds. It is lawful for you. Like the person, the family of Bishr ibn al-Barra that was killed. When Bishr ibn al-Barra was killed, it was the person who killed him that was killed. He won't say, oh, one person was killed in our family, I will kill two in their own family. If you do that, you go beyond it. Or you kill the person who was not guilty of the murder in your own family. This is not lawful. So the government who will rule that there should be retaliation, the government will rule retaliation against that same person who had caused the loss of life. So that's why Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, when he explained وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا, he says شَارَعَ الْعَدْلِ, Allah made justice lawful. Allah legislated al-adl, وَهُوَ الْكِسَاسِ, and that is retaliation. Allah legislated al-adl. He says شَارَعَ الْعَدْلَ وَهُوَ الْكِسَاسِ. Allah made al-adl justice. He made it lawful. And that justice, paying back just what you had been done unto, he says, وَهُوَ الْكِسَاسِ, and that is retaliation. وَنَدَبَ إِلَى الْفَضْلِ, but he has encouraged us all. We are all encouraged. وَهُوَ الْعَفُ, نَدَبَ إِلَى الْفَضْلِ وَهُوَ الْعَفُ. He encouraged all of us to seek the path of nobility, to do something that is better, to do something that is far, far better than al-kisas, better than al-adl. And that is what? Al-afu. You have the right. If a person was committed murder, the family has a right to say, we forgive him, like we read in that verse in Surah Al-Isra. فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. We have given the family of the person who was murdered the authority to choose whether to forgive, that is to have al-afu, because they have an opportunity to say, no, we want kisas. Allah now says, فَلَا تُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. He encouraged them not to seek for kisas. He encouraged them for what? Towards what? Al-afu. So Allah authorized, he allowed al-adl, al-kisas, but he encourages what? Al-afu. Allah has allowed al-kisas, but he encourages what? Al-afu. I hope that it is clear. Allah has allowed al-adl, al-kisas, but he has done what? He has encouraged us. So in the verse where he says, جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا, we have given a right to the family of the person who was assassinated, who was murdered, who was killed. We have given them the right. Then he went forward and said, فَلَا تُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ. So they too, they should not allow another life to be lost. He encouraged them towards what? al-afu, but they have a right to choose al-adl or what? Al-afu. But he encourages them to make what? Al-afu, to pardon, to overlook. And this also occurs in the Quran. The verse we read, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ. We had told them in the past books too that أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ, if the person kills one person, it should return. The killing should return to that person who had taken the life of another person. أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْأَنْفَ بِالْأَنْفِ. One eye for the other eye, the ear for the ear, the nose for the nose, and all of this. It says, وَالْجُرُوحَ كِسَاسٌ. Every injury, injury can be paid back in a retaliation. Don't forget, we said this is lawful. Then Allah says, فَمَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ فَهُوَ كَفَارَةٌ لَهُ. He counts it like sadaqah. مَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ. What does he count as sadaqah here? Al-afu. Whoever gives it up. Okay, you injured me. Okay, I forgive you. فَهُوَ كَفَارَةٌ لَهُ. It will be a major means of seeking forgiveness and gaining forgiveness from Allah. So someone hits you. Oh, children, listen. Someone hits you. Yes, you can hit back exactly as you were hit. This is lawful. This is kisaras. But you can have what? Al-afu. So like Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir said, rahimahullah, shara'a al-adla wa nadaba ila al-fadli. He encouraged, yes, you had been hurt. Or he encourages what? Al-af. He encourages overlook. So this occurs in many places in the Quran. When he says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The reward for one evil that was directed to a person is you return that same مِثْلِهَا, the like of it, return it back to him. What did he say after that? فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Faman afa, whoever leaves behind what? Al-kisas. Whoever leaves behind what? That paying back. Whoever leaves it. Afa, he overlooks it. Wa aslaha. And then he turns towards goodness. Allah says, fa ajruhu ala Allah. It is with Allah to reward him as tremendously as he desires. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah pays back goodness with lots of goodness. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, innahu la yuhibbu zalimin. This is another message I want us to take note. The fact that it is encouraged for a person to overlook hurt that was directed to him, that is not an encouragement for the person who directs hurt to people. There are some people, they regularly direct hurt to people. But they are the ones who will tell those same people, forgive me, pardon me. Why is it your own job to direct hurt towards people? So Allah says, innahu la yuhibbu zalimin. Some people will fight you that you are supposed to have forgiveness. You are supposed to forgive me. You are supposed to have al-afu. He was the one who did the zulm. He is compelling you. Zulm is haram. He did not leave zulm. But he will be telling you, compelling you, insulting you that you have not made al-afu. And al-afu is mustahab. It is encouraged. But zulm is haram. It is prohibited. So he himself, he needed that sermon first. The sermon that, why are you not, Chidi, you are afa. Why are you not forgiving me? Are you not afa? He starts insulting you again. When you have a right to have al-kisas, to retaliate. And you are thinking, what should I do? What is best in this condition? Is that I seek retaliation or that I overlook? He will now, people now begin to insult you. Don't insult him if he chooses to have his kisas. Don't insult him. You can only encourage him like Allah encourages the people. If you go to all the verses where these issues are mentioned, it is by word of encouragement. You don't insult somebody, why are you not having afu? No. The person to be blamed is that zalim. That's why in this verse, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The reward, returning, the reward for evil is another evil that should be returned to. This talking about retaliation. It says, فَمَنْ عَفَى. Look at this encouragement. مَنْ عَفَى. But anybody who overlooks, وَأَصْلَحَ and then turns in goodness. فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah has a lot of rewards for him. The verse in Al-Ma'idah, he says, فَمَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ فَهُوَ كَفَارَةٌ لَهُ. Whoever gives sadaqah, whoever allows, he allows that injury to go, he overlooks, Allah says it's kafara, it is encouragement. Likewise, when Allah says, وَإِنَا قَبِتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. When someone directs aggression and insult and harm to you, عَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. Return the like of it. This is what? Al-Qisas. Then afterwards, Allah said what? وَلَا إِن صَبَرْتُمْ. But if you are patient, لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. This is best too. It is best. And that is the way of the people of patience. So you see there's an encouragement towards what? Al-Afu. But Al-Qisas is lawful. And the zulm itself is basically what? Haram. Now there is better than Al-Afu. And the one that is better than Al-Afu is what? As-Safhu. As-Safhu. As if you want to say Safha. As-Safhu is better than Al-Afu. Al-Afu is better than Al-Qisas. And al-zulm is haram. It is not good at all. Zulm is haram. Al-adlu al-qisas is halal, lawful. As long as it does not go beyond the original zulm that was done to you. But as for al-afu, it is encouraged. As for al-safhu, it is better than al-afu. I hope that is clearly understood. And Allah mentioned a soft copy in the Quran. He says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. You cannot compare goodness and evil. He says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. اِدْفَعْ. Pay back. Pay back evil. Someone does a zulm to you. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Pay back with that which is best. So that is what a soft hope. He didn't say pay back with the good. No, ahsan, the best. Someone directs hurt to you, you pay back with the best. It's like saying someone slaps you and you buy him Domino's. Children, someone slaps you, you give him fish. That is from the aspects of idfa billati hi ahsan, paying back. Adafu billati hi ahsan. Paying back, returning hurt with something better. Not just that you overlook, you are not hurting. That is al-afu. You are not also returning hurt for hurt. You have also left what? Al-qisas. And you did not originate that hurt. What you rather did is the highest level. And the highest level is referred to as what? As-safhu. So there is al-zulmu. May Allah protect us from being amongst the zalimun. There are people who are zalimun, zalimun, zalimun. May Allah protect us. So there is zulmu, which is directing hurt. There is al-qisas, which is retaliation. There is al-afu, which is holding back from retaliation. There is as-safhu, which is not retaliating and doing good to the one who had brought al-zulmu. This is what is best, and this is what is also encouraged. And this chapter is about al-afu and as-safhu. That hadith of the Prophet we read, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he forgave the woman. What the Prophet did there was what? Al-afu. As for the family of Bishr ibn al-Barrah, what did they request for? Al-qisas. I hope that these matters have been brought to good perspective, inshallah. We go to hadith 244. We had read it in the last class. And that is a hadith, mawquf, from Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhuma, and it was reported from him by his eminent student Wahab ibn Kaysan. Wahab ibn Kaysan was a freed slave from the family of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He was a slave that was owned by Zubayr ibn Awwam, the father of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So he grew up to know Abdullah ibn Zubayr very well. Wahab ibn Kaysan was a freed slave of the father of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So that's why he's also called Mawla Abdullah ibn Mawla Zubayr ibn Awwam. Wahab ibn Kaysan, he is Abu Nu'aym Mawla Zubayr ibn Awwam. So he's a student amongst the students of who? Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He also took knowledge from Abu Huraira. He took knowledge from Abdullah ibn Umar. He also took knowledge from Abdullah ibn Abbas, Wahab ibn Kaysan. And he happens to be from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam Malik, Malik ibn Anas, radiyallahu anhu. So that makes us understand many times when we give examples of those that Al-Imam Malik reported from who were students of companions, we usually mention Naf, the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar. We usually mention Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar. These people reported from companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are from amongst the teachers of who? Abdullah ibn Umar. Like even Zayd ibn Aslam, they were from the teachers of Malik ibn Anas. One of them who was also from amongst the students of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was also a teacher of Al-Imam Malik, our Imam, rahimahullah, was who? Wahab ibn Kaysan. Wahab ibn Kaysan reported from Abdullah ibn Umar that he heard him yakulu ala al-minbar. He heard him saying why he was on the minbar. Wahab ibn Kaysan, he heard Abdullah ibn Umar saying, he heard Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhu saying while on the minbar, he read the verse khudh al-af وَعْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Allah said in the Quran, خُذِ الْعَفْ, take to having af. We said this is a command, this is an encouragement in the Quran. خُذِ الْعَفْ. We all should like to overlook for the people. Don't return hurt for hurt for the sake of Allah. It is a common thing people say. When someone directs a hurt, an insult towards them, they want to pay back. Allah says, khuzil af, take to overlooking. So I say to myself first, because it is from the nature of man to want to pay back, we have to learn not to pay back. We have to learn this noble character of not paying back. It is lawful to pay back, but it is better not to pay back. And it is best to pay back goodness to the one who had directed evil to us. Look at the levels. It is best. Someone does evil to you, you do good to him. Idfa billati hi ahsan. Pay back with that which is best. And it has a miraculous effect in the minds of the people that Allah told us about. He says, fa idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawatun ka'annahu waliyyun hamid. When you do good to the person who directs evil towards you, Allah makes it a means of his turning towards you with goodness. I have seen this practically. Someone directs hurt, directs evil towards you. You direct goodness towards him. Direct goodness towards him. The first thing is that Allah protects you against this evil, and then you gain the huge rewards of what has suffered. And then at the end of the day, it becomes because something will be telling him in his mind that this man that I'm evil abusing, instead of abusing him, he's even doing good to me. So why am I abusing him? His conscience will be saying that to him. His conscience will be saying that to him. And I have seen people that there are very strong enmity amongst them, that when gifts began to be exchanged, Allah made the exchange of gifts to be, or the giving of gifts in the first place to be, the major means why the other person thought that I can't direct evil to this person. He has always been good to me. He has always been nice to me. So this is the best thing for us. When someone does evil to us, you do good to him. It is the best. Lower than that is that someone does evil to you, don't return evil for evil. So this is what this verse says. Don't return the evil. Overlook the evil. Khudh al-afu. Take to having al-afu. Wa'mur bil-urfi. Encourage people to do what is good. So don't return evil for evil. Encourage people to do what is good. وَأَعْرِبْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. As for the people of ignorance, avoid them, set them aside. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, Abu Abdullah, the author of the Tafsir, He says, إِذَا أَقَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْحُجَّةِ. When you discuss with somebody that is from the people of ignorance, you encourage him towards goodness. وَأَقَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْحُجَّةِ. And you are giving him the reasons and evidences why what he did was bad. وَأَمَرْتَهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You are encouraging him and commanding him towards goodness. فَجَهِلُوا عَلَيْكِ. And then he begins to behave in the behavior of ignorance towards you. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi said, rahimahullah, that this verse means that fa'arib anhum, avoid them, set them aside. Some people will do evil. And when they are explained, when it is explained to them, oh, you have this negative character, you are doing this, you have self-importance, you are arrogant, you are insultive, you are haughty, you are uncouth, you are debating, so no, I don't have that. In fact, you are just prejudicially telling me, you are just, he says, fa'arib anhum, turn away from them. This is what Allah says to us in the Quran, fa'arib anil wa'arib anil jahilin. Say, khuzil af, take to pardoning people. Avoid, as if to say, avoid zulm. Don't be the one directing zulm to people. It is haram. Secondly, when zulm is directed to you, you are allowed to return it in the exact way. If it becomes more, you become the zalim. Now, it is encouraged for you not to return evil for evil at all. And the best thing for you is that you return goodness to those who had directed evil towards you. So, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. Encourage that person who had done what is bad. Encourage him to do what is good. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِ. Those that you'll be encouraging to change from bad to good. Those who will direct hurt to you and you'll encourage them, what you have done is wrong, don't do it again. Yet they go on to start saying, no, I can do it, I have done this. And they begin to argue and try to vouchsafe themselves to find evidence, like hiding under the finger. Allah says, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِ. Turn away from them. Set them aside. Don't go on continuing that argument because it has no benefit. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, when he explained this verse, he says, وَاللَّهِ, I swear by Allah, مَا أَمَرَ بِهَا أَن تُخَذَ إِلَّا مِنْ أَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. مَا أَمَرَ بِهَا, يعني مَا أَمَرَ بِالْعَفْ. Allah has not commanded that we should overlook anything, we should have afu. Illa min akhlaqin nas, except from the kind of character that people will be bringing. That is the afu we should have. Allah is telling us to have afu because people will be bringing characters. They will be bringing behaviors. They will be bringing attitudes that will require us to give them what? Al-afu. One of the ulama say, give the people afu. Because when you don't give them afu, you want to take them to standard behavior at all the time. You make things become for the people, hard for the people. People will find it difficult to behave to standards. There are some of us, our problem is over intelligence. We want due procedure at every point in time. So when anybody relates with you and is not following due procedure at every point in time, you take him up on it. Don't take him up on it every time because you make things difficult for him. We are coming to that in the next hadith. You are a person of standards. Who will ask you? Take to overlooking it, overlooking their own faults. You understand standard. You understand the right thing that should be done. You understand due procedure and due diligence. They don't know it. They don't understand it. So if you take to harassing them, insulting them, employing vulgar words, being uncouth towards them, being harassing and not pardoning, you end up becoming a barrier to them gaining and learning and changing. So overlook. Take to overlooking, take to pardoning them. Don't return the indecency as they spoke, as they wrote. Some people, when they write, each time you read what they write,
you are reading insult. They don't know how to choose courteous words. Even their assalamu alaikum, you can almost say that in that taslim itself, there is vulgarity and insult inside it. Some people are like that. They are coarse. They are uncouth. They don't have any kind of a nobility. Everything they do, coarseness appears from it. They are just not near nobility in any way. These kinds of people, when you relate with them, cousin, afu, overlook, master, boss, in at the place of work. Please, when those your subordinates, they have not studied to obtain a PhD as you did. How many courses in human relations did you attend before you became the boss in office? You attended human relationship courses. You were going from Dubai to US to UK attending courses. That man working under you who does not understand procedure and you are insulting, he does not know anything like the one you have known. The same thing applies to the people of knowledge and adab in Islam. If a person of knowledge and adab, I say knowledge and adab together and differently, because some people can be people of knowledge, but they lack adab. Some people can have knowledge. When they preach itself, the preaching will contain vulgar words. In the preaching, you'll be seeing insult, abuses to the people who listen to them. The one who says the deen should not express the deen like this. So sometimes people are like that. So you manage that nature with them. Khudh al-af, overlook it. Wa'mur bil 'urf. If you find an opportunity to talk to them, encourage them to do what is good. Wa'arid 'anil jahilin. If you try to encourage them upon goodness and they still become vulgar and uncouth, leave them aside. Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he said, what Allah is telling us is that people will be behaving like that towards you. When they behave like that towards you, khudh al-af, take to pardoning and overlooking. He said, radiallahu anhuma, wallahi, la'akhudhannaha minhum ma sahibtuhum. Wallahi, la'akhudhannaha minhum ma sahibtuhum. I'm going to take to pardoning them. I'm going to take to having what Allah says I should take. Khudh al-afu. Take to al-afu. I am going to do that. Ma sahibtuhum. As long as I relate to the people. This is the vow and the wish, strong desire from who? Abdullah ibn Zubayr. And I think we all should go back to that. Khudh al-afu. Wa'amur bil-urf. Wa'arid anil jahilin. Take to overlooking the faults of people. Wallahi, it is very, very important. You can't relate to the people if you are an intelligent person anyway. You can't relate to the people except that in their relationship you'll be finding fault. Oh no, you shouldn't have talked like that. Oh no, you shouldn't have handled this matter like that. Oh no, you should. If you want to blame them in every circumstance for that misdemeanor, for that not following due diligence, not following procedure, you will become a person who wants to teach people upon difficulty. This will bring us to the next hadith. And that is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, hadith 245. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, said, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدِ ibn Salam, قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا مُحَمَّدِ ibn Fudail, ibn Ghazwan, and Laysin, and Tawus, and ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنهما, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم علموا ويسروا ولا تعسروا علموا ويسروا ولا تعسروا وإذا غضب أحدكم فليسكت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم علموا ويسروا ولا تعسروا علموا ويسروا ولا تعسروا وإذا غضب أحدكم فليسكت. Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith was collected from him by Abdullah ibn Abbas. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, his student Tawus, al-Imam Tawus is his Tawus ibn Qaysan, Abu Abdullah, he is from the scholars of Yemen, Tawus ibn Qaysan. Rahimahullah. He was a tabi'i, very, very learned amongst the tabi'un from Yemen, from the people of Iman. And that hadith is reported from him by Layth. That is Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. That is not Al-Layth. Al-Layth, that is Al-Imam Al-Layth. But here we have Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. He is the one reporting from Tawus ibn Kaysan. Here it is Layth ibn Abi Sulaym, not Layth ibn Sa'd, the Imam of the people of Misr. Rahimahumullah. And his student Muhammad ibn Fudayl ibn Ghazwan is reporting from Layth ibn Abi Sulaym. And the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith is Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikandi, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikandi, rahimahullah, was the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. And it's the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allimu wa yassiru. When you teach the people, teach the people. Allimu. Teach the people the matters of their deen. Teach them the Sunnah. Teach them the Quran. Teach them Arabic. Teach everything by which they or with which they need to understand the Quran and the Sunnah. Allimu. Teach the people. Wa yassiru. But make the teaching easy. Easy teaching. Some of the people, when they teach the deen, because they want you to be respecting ustads, they will make things difficult. They will speak, but the students will not understand what they are saying. Sometimes it is because the Arabic terminologies, the technical words they will be employing will be too much. The rank and file of the Muslims will not understand what you are saying. Al-afu wa safhu. The man does not understand what is al-afu. He does not understand as-safhu. Bring it down to the way that he will explain. He will understand it. Explain it on the streets. Bring it down. Bring your teachings down. Alimu wa yassiru. Brothers, when you teach, be simple, be easy. They don't understand those technical terms you are using. Those Arabic terminologies, they have not attended the madrasa like you. Bring it down. Sometimes people speak, even those who have attended madaris, they do not understand what they are saying. Even people who have attended madrasas do not understand. They'll be looking for dictionaries. This is not from the aspects of wisdom. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allimu wa yassiru. If you teach people and you are using words, you are using vocabularies that are difficult to understand. You bring in Arabic expressions in every explanation that you give, and the people do not understand. The only thing is that they're referring to you as Sheikh and Ustaz, but you have not communicated. You have not taught them anything. You have not explained anything. You have not given them benefits. Alimu wa yassiru. Teach the people, make what you teach them easy. Make it easy for them to understand. Wala tu'assiru. Don't make the knowledge to look difficult. The knowledge is not difficult. Don't make it to look difficult. Wala tu'assiru. Don't make the knowledge to be difficult. When you teach it, teach it easily. People teach nahu and people don't understand. It is meant to be understood. Nahu is meant to be understood. But the way people go about teaching it, the student finds it difficult. And then the teacher begins to say, you think it's easy to be an ustaz? No! Allimu wa yassiru. Teach the people and be easy. Wala tu'assiru. Don't present knowledge as something that is difficult. It is easy. Make it easy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa iza ghadiba ahadukum falyaskut. From the aspects of making al-afu is that at the time of anger, you keep quiet. إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحْدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ وَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحْدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. One of the medicines that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has recommended for us in the times of anger is what? That we should keep quiet. إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحْدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. When any of you becomes angry, let him keep quiet. Because most of the times, anger pushes us away from al-af. If you ask, what is the connection between not getting angry and making af? anger pushes us away. Anger pushes us away from what? Al-af and asaf. It is when you are angry, you'll be saying, you want to pay back. I want to return it back. I want to pay him back. Please be patient. Be patient. In the verse in the Quran, Allah says, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. The people of righteousness. إِذَا مَا غَضِبُهُمْ. Anytime that anger comes upon them, هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. They forgive. So one of the ways, anger makes it difficult for people to have al-afu. And al-afu is very, very important. So if anger prevents from al-afu, how about asaf? Is it the one who can't make al-afu? If you can't make al-afu, you can't get to the level of what? Asafu. And asafu is the best. Asafu is someone directs hurt to you and you pay back with goodness. Someone slaps you, you give him a bottle of Coke. Someone pushes you, you bring him in front of you. I have seen a learned person in an airport. We wanted to check him. Some women were in his front. He came and they started struggling. No, I'm in front. May Allah protect us. So if someone does something wrong to you, yes, you were in front, but the person came in front of you, you can even give him more space. Give him more space. Okay, you want to come here? Okay, please come. And then you move backwards. This is adding goodness to al-af. And that becomes what? Asafu. So asafu is the best for us. But al-afu is that don't return evil. Don't return that evil for evil that was directed to you. But it is lawful for you to have al-kisas, to retaliate. But it is haram to start evil itself, whether with respect to the speech or with respect to actions. Don't direct evil to you. Allah says, "Inna Allah la yuhibbu zalimin." Allah does not like the people who are aggressors, people who are unjust to others, people who are unfair to others. I hope that this point is clear, inshallah, today. And it will make us end this chapter, the chapter about having Al-Afu and Al-Safhu and Innas. Babu Al-Afu wa Safhi and Innas. And I hope that it is clear and gotten in the proper perspective, inshallah. If we have a few questions that we can attend to, we can go to them, inshallah. Abu Amir.
No, Jazakum Allah khairan ya Sheikh Anna. Assalamu alaikum.
Ameen. Abu Yusuf, kayfa al-hal?
Alhamdulillah. The first question reads: Does it mean that the people that said the poison was part of what led to the prophet's death were wrong because it was said he died as a mujahid?
Well, people say that, and there is actually the report of Aisha radiallahu anha when the prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the time that he passed away, that he felt. The effect of the poisoning in his intestines. But we understand that was about 4 years, 3 to 4 years after the incident. We understand. If it was a death immediately connected to the poisoning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have passed away as Bishr ibn al-Bara passed away. Bishr ibn al-Bara passed away almost immediately. After that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for about 4 years. By the time he passed away, he said, I still feel the pain. I still feel that poisoning. I feel it. But it was not the poisoning that killed him. It's like somebody, when we're younger than this, we used to play football. I have my left wrist. It was in secondary school. I hit the ball with my left palm. I was behind the goalkeeper, a penalty was played. So I hit the ball with my left palm as if to return, because we were to come back to the set, you know, in secondary school. We were to play in the set, so we wanted that goal to be scored. I stood behind the goalkeeper. When the goal was scored, I intended to return the ball so that we can go back and play. The ball hit me on the wrist, still as I speak now, I feel that pain. I use the hand, I drive with it. In fact, the hand that I hold the steering most when I drive is my left hand. I use the left very well. I carry things with it, but sometimes I will just feel the pains again. I'm sure we will understand this kind of a thing. Women who have CS when they deliver, they have that experience too. They've had the CS for 50, 60 years. In life, when they become old, they still feel the pains of a surgery they had 60 years ago. Can we say that they died as a result of the pain of that surgery, even when they say they are still feeling the pain? I hope that it is clear to us.
Is that still okay? How will retaliation be executed in a case where two or more people who work together and were nabbed or confessed to have killed a person?
The courts will do that. These are issues of qada. They are issues of court rulings. When they go to court, the court will investigate the entirety of the matter and handle it accordingly. But in the Sharia, if it were in the laws of the Sharia, they would not, if the two of them were found guilty, they were equally participated in the killing of the person. And the two of them would be like the woman who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a poisoned meat. It was upon an agreement by the Jews. So all of these people, all those who agreed upon taking it, who did the meeting, they are also conspirators. Is it conspirator? There's a name in law that is employed. So the court will decide that they should be executed. Now in Sharia, before execution, the family, after being determined to be guilty, the family of the person who was murdered will be called in. Do you pardon? Do you want to have al-af? Or you want al-kisas? But that does not occur in any other law that I know. I don't know whether it occurs in any other law. I don't know. I'm not saying it does not occur in any other law, but I know it occurs in the laws of Islam. Allah says, "Ja'alna li waliyihi sultan." The family of the deceased person, the victim of the murder, will be brought in. Should we pardon these people, or we should take their lives? So if they say pardon, then that is al-af. If they insist, like the family of Bishr ibn al-Barra insists that that woman be killed, then that is what al-kisas. Is it clear, Aba Yusuf?
Ma'am, that's your question.
Now.
Will one be rewarded for paying evil with equal evil, even if that is the least level?
No, that is not reward. You have returned your injury. What will you be rewarded for? Will you be rewarded for paying back? You know, you paid back. You've gotten, if you had al-afu, you'd be rewarded for afu. And your reward will be bigger than what the evil that was done to you. Of course, huge, huge rewards from Allah. If you have al-afu. Allah says, وَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. If you look away, you hold back from returning evil for evil. Allah says, yes, we'll overlook. Your rewards are with me. So if you return evil with evil, there is nothing to... That is if your evil is exact evil. If the evil you are returning is exactly the evil that was directed to you. Some people, if they say, if you slap me one, I will slap you four. The three extra makes you become a zalim. It was the zalim, but you took over the baton of zulm. He was zalim at level 1. You are zalim at level 3 because you gave him 4. So he is zalim at level 1, but you are zalim at level 4. Your zulm is worse than his. So if you're paying him back, it's just exactly as he had done it to you. There is nothing to pay back to you. You don't have any rewards. except in the cases like you don't also have a sin too, like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mustabbal ma qala fa'ala al-badi. When two people are insulting and abusing themselves, cursing themselves, kunida, upon olori buruku, and all of these, as people say, largely in Lagos, brothers in Lagos, sorry, it's very, very common. Almost everywhere you go to in Lagos, you hear abuse, insults from people. It could be in other places, but I'm speaking from my own experience. So the two people insulting themselves, what they say comes upon the head of the person who started the insulting. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ma lam ya'tadil mazlum, as long as the one who is paying back does not go beyond. If he goes beyond, he too begins to share from the evil. So if you direct evil for evil, you don't have a reward and you don't have a sin. It is zero, like plotting a graph. This is point zero. No rewards, no sin. If you want rewards, make af. If you want rewards, make af, make sof. So if you make af, if you make sof, then these are rewarding. But as for al-kisas, yes, it is just justice. You are just taking from them what they took from you. So what do you want again? There is nothing. So there is nothing for you. There is also nothing against you. Those who have all the blames, inna masabilu, like the Quran says, inna masabilu ala alladhina yazlimuna an-nas. The entire blame goes to those who direct hurt and harm to the people. وَيَبُغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. And they go on causing aggression and oppression on the earth, and that is not lawful for them to do. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. These kinds of people, they will be paid back with serious punishment, painful punishment on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah protect us. So the zalim is the bad person. The one who does al-qisas, he does not have anything against him. He also does not have anything for him. Those who have everything for them are the one who does al-safu and al-afu. And better than him is the one who does what? Al-safu is better than what? Al-afu. I hope that it is clear in terms of rewards, Abba Yusuf.
Naam, Ya Shaykhana. Jazakum Allah khairan.
Ameen. Can we make the last question today?
Naam, Ya Shaykhana.
Naam.
Could divorce be seen as a set concept that brings about adlu? A wife is bad, and a man couldn't order hold up to offer afu, and he decides to tolak.
Yes, it is. The wife is bad. The husband finds it hard to go upon afu. In fact, it is possible that upon if she has 10 faults, he's making afu upon 6 or 7. He has rewards for those ones. He has 4 that he finds it difficult to make afu upon. So he chooses talak. Yes, it is. It is. In fact, in some places, the talak can be encouraged. Talak has all the rulings in the Sharia. Talak can be haram. Talak can be halal, jais. Talak can be makruh. Talak can be mustahab, encouraged. There are some women that Islam encouraged that it's encouraged that you divorce that those kinds of women and you don't keep them as your wives. And there is talak that is even compulsory. You must do it. The time that you must do it. Let me quickly give an example of that. Allah explained, gave us the guidance in Surah Tunisa that when the two حكم. This is فَبْعَثُوا فَإِنْ خِبْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. When you find disagreements brewing up amongst them, raise a person of wisdom and fairness from both sides. If these people sit down and agree what should be done, that there should be separation. It becomes compulsory that it should be separated. Or a case was taken to a Sharia court, and the Sharia court decides that the two of them should be separated after investigations, hearing, and all of this. That court ruling becomes an obligatory thing for the man and for the man to divorce the woman. It becomes compulsory for the man to divorce the woman. The case where it is encouraged for a man to divorce the woman is when the woman is very abusive. It is not encouraged to keep in abusive wives. The lesson for women in this is that don't be an abusive wife towards your husband. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him that my wife is very, very abusive. He said, "Talik, divorce her." He didn't even ask for divorce her. So this encouragement that when a woman is very abusive towards her husband, she should be divorced. The lesson in that for women, don't say men don't have affair. You don't be an abusive wife towards your husband. Don't say, why should you not have affair? Because you are the zulm. The zulm is your abuse of your husband. Some women, their husbands are not up to 10 kobo in their hands. There is no word they can say to their husband. And he is supposed to be the most respectful person to you on the earth, because he has the most rights over you. He is the person who you should never abuse. He feeds you, he clothes you, he keeps you under his shelter, he suffers for you, he protects you, he guides you, he teaches you. And then all you can pay him back is with insults and abuse. And that's why one of the things that bring women to the fire is being abusive and ungrateful to their husbands. So when a woman is very abusive, despite all every control, we read the verse in Surah Al-A'raf. It says, "Khuzil af, take to overlooking the faults of people. Wa amur bil urf. Teach the people, that person you have overlooked his fault or her fault, teach her to do what is good. Wa arid anil jahili. If you find that this one will not hear something. It is all about insulting and abusing her husband. It is mustahab to divorce that kind of a woman. There are other cases. Other cases of istihbab are perhaps if a woman contacts a disease that can kill the husband, it is encouraged you divorce the woman before you contact the disease. It can be the other way around. A man contacts a disease that is harmful to the husband. It is clearly known that it can afflict the husband. It can afflict the wife. Either of the case, if it's for a woman, she goes to a court to seek for relief. If it's for a man, he divorces the wife. So these are cases. Because the Sharia has encouraged us not to bring harm towards ourselves. So divorce has all the rulings. It has the rulings of wujub. It has the rulings of an-nadab al-mandu. It has the rulings of al-jawaz. It has the rulings of al-makruh. It has the rulings of what? Haram. A divorce can be haram when you divorce your wife when she's menstruating. It is haram to divorce a woman when she's menstruating. So there are other instances like this. So divorce, if you bring it in the level of jawaz, it is allowed. That is the basic ruling. So when the woman becomes abusive, insulting, you can't take it anymore. You say, please, can you go? So it is as you have said it, Abba Yusuf. Allahu Akbar.
Jazakum Allahu Khairan.
Can we call it a day today, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.